Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to be together for worship on this day. It's good to be with you. My name is Rockford Johnson. It's my joy and delight to serve as senior pastor here, along with you, to be in mission and ministry together to change lives that change the world. That truly is our calling. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing these connection pads, and if you would give us some information about yourself, let other people see who you are by your name there. That's helpful to everyone as we blend our lives together. If this is your first time with us, we would invite you to fill out the Welcome Connect card that's in the pew in front of you, and then to take that at the end of the service out either door, and there are persons there with the large welcome buttons on, and they would be glad to give you a gift bag today and welcome you to among us in that way. So if you would, do that for us, and we appreciate it. Let us know also how you can how we can be in prayer with you, church. There are prayer request cards in the pew racks also, and you can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and click on the prayer request button on the front page. Then help us pray with you and for you in the coming days. We love to do that. You can also find on the About page and the Jump In page on our website more information about all kinds of opportunities for us. Today, it's to be celebrated that for the first time since March of 2020, between the 8:30 and this service, we've had three of our choirs return to in-person. We had the youth chapel choir in the 8:30 and the youth ringers in the 8:30 service, and in this service we have the Agape Choir, and all of these choirs have come back for the first time in person since March of 2020, and I think that's something to celebrate as a church together. Today we focus on moving from fear to courage as part of our continuing series, Hope Endures. So we have planned and prayed that in some way, we might hear the invitation and the direction of God as we worship together today. May it be so. Would you stand to sing hymn number 577, God of Grace and God of Glory?
Thank you. Please join me in the responsive reading that is printed in your bulletin. Have you not known? Our God is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. Have you not heard? God does not faint or grow weary. Have you not known? God's understanding is unsearchable. Have you not heard? God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Have you not known? Those who hope in God will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. We come to hear. We come to know. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray together. O light-giving and salvation-making God, we have staked our living and our dying and our being raised to new life on your steadfast love and faithfulness. God, you have promised to hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. You have promised to set us high on a rock, above those powers and forces that batter us, that tempt us, that work against us. God, we have sought your presence here today, listening for your word that gives life, your word that heals the wounded heart, your word that speaks truth. God, teach us your way. Lead us on a well-lighted path. In the times when you are silent, God, grant us the courage to wait, trusting in your grace that brings your resurrection power to our dead ends. God, we do believe that you are doing a new thing among us, though it's hard to see at times what that new thing is. God, we bring to you our grieving over what is being lost, our fears about what the future might hold, our desire to love and serve you. And so grant us mercy and grace to trust you more deeply. For the only secure place is with you, for you are our light and our salvation, the stronghold of our life. God, we pray to you this day, all that is on our hearts and minds, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the firstborn of your new creation, our life and our hope. And together we pray the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn number 474, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, 474.
As McFarland's Director of Missions, I am constantly being reminded of the power of partnerships. Partnerships between you and you. Partnerships between this church and other organizations and churches here in Norman. Partnerships that we have with churches literally around the world. When we partner with other organizations and churches, we are so much more effective in changing lives that change the world than if we were to try to go it alone. And as we enter into this time of offering, I'm inviting you, I'm asking you to help us continue to form solid partnerships so that we literally can change the world around the world. That's what we do when we give this morning. So thank you in advance for your gifts. You may be seated.
Thank you.
You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Psalm 27, titled The Triumphant Song of Confidence. Hear now these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encampment against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O holy and gracious God, today we come listening. Deeply listening. Open to the whisper of your Spirit. We come seeking guidance and courage. For some of us, our fears may argue against the affirmation that it is well with our souls. And so speak to us, O God. Speak to us. In the name and the way of Jesus we pray. Amen. Cindy Solomon makes her living helping companies nurture and create courageous leadership. Some years ago, she was in Alaska with some friends, and their hiking guide told them that there was a beautiful waterfall that they just had to see if they were up to a hike, a pretty good hike. Well, she and her friend Matt decided to go, so along with the guide and another man, they began this journey. And about midway through the hike, they came out onto a beautiful outcropping that looked out over a gorgeous valley. The path continued up the side of the mountain, a small path with a sheer rock cliff rising up on one side and a sheer drop-off to depths as much as the height of a 10-story building on the other side. Well, Cindy said that she was not afraid of heights, and so in theory, everything was okay. But all she could do was keep her eyes on the shuffling feet of her friend Matt as they made their way along this precarious journey. Suddenly, the ground gave way under his feet, and she, in a moment, grabbed a root on the side of the mountain and reached out with her other hand, and Matt grabbed with both of his hands, and she said, like Xena, the warrior princess, "I threw him back on the other side," and the man back there threw his arm against him and slammed him to the wall, and he was safe. In a moment of raw fear, instinctual courage took over. But how can we, and how do we move from fear to courage? How does our faith invite us into and empower us for intentional courage in the face of fearsome challenges? Psalm 27 provides some rather clear guidance and assurance that we can embrace courage. The psalm recalls an experience when someone faced an overwhelming threat. It was a threat as daunting as when an ancient city would be besieged by a formidable military power. It may recall an actual, literal experience of that very thing. But because of some of the references in the psalm, it may as well be a metaphor for a variety of ways that we might feel fearful due to some huge task or challenge. So the psalm opens with declarations of courage and boasts of bravery and confidence against evildoers and enemies. The speaker proclaims confidence in God as the source of wisdom and deliverance and protection and strength. All of that for life and for living. And later in the psalm, however, we hear the admission of fear in that reference to adversaries breathing violence and threatening destruction using false witnesses. There is serious concern that someone or some set of circumstances may intend to wreak havoc and destruction. And even though the psalmist boasts that such targeted, destructive, evil attacks do not cause his heart to fear, we know that there is some fear because he seeks shelter and assurance in the temple. He is even afraid of how God might respond or not respond. He pleads with God not to hide, not to forsake, not to abandon, not to give up on him. Even people of faith, of course, have fears. How then do we move to courage so that we are not taken down by our fears? The core of the answer here comes in this statement: "One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." All that confidence and boasting about no fear and not being afraid, even though there's plenty to fear, all of that confidence is rooted in the singular pursuit to leave everything aside and get face to face with God. The one thing he knows is that he must do whatever it takes to get close enough to God, to get face to face with God. He needs to get close enough to ask for wisdom and help, so that he can discern God's direction into a pathway that leads from fear to courage. The one essential thing is to live constantly in the presence of God. here symbolized by living in the temple as the representation of God's presence. This is what is meant by this desire to behold or gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And by saying to himself, seek God's face, and saying to God, do not hide your face. This is a description of someone doing what it takes through prayer and worship to be open and vulnerable to the whisper and the work of God. Driven by fears and perceived enemies or challenges, this person goes into the temple to get close to God and inquire, now what? Seeking refuge from overwhelming danger or anxiety, he seeks shelter in the place or in the way that was known in that time and setting as the one way to get close to God, as close as you could get in the temple. He also uses the word tent as a synonym for temple. During the years of the wilderness travels, of course, of the Hebrew people, before they built a temple of stone on a certain location, there was a traveling temple, a tabernacle, a tent. God is the kind of God who shows up in the sanctuary of wood and stone and glass at 419 South University Boulevard in Norman, Oklahoma. And God is also the God who shows up wherever we are in our journey, tabernacling along with us, shows up as spiritual shelter in the day of our trouble. The psalmist goes to the temple not only to be near and experience the captivating presence of holy love and peace or shalom, he goes to inquire, to ask questions, to seek wisdom. And the question that begs an answer is how to move from fear to courage, how to remain courageous while feeling like we are in some way under siege. Where do you go? Where do you go to get face to face with God? Where do you go, or what do you do to inquire with God so that you can learn the pathway from fear to courage, from some daunting or nagging or chronic fear to a solid courage? Two things are true. One is that God is indeed with you where you are, so that the only place you really have to go is deep inside yourself, to be in touch with the Spirit of God who lives in us and teaches us. The other thing that's true is that we often need much help to get there. We live in a busy, fast-paced world. We need help getting deep enough within ourselves so that we can experience the presence of the Spirit of Jesus and hear the wisdom of God that reveals the path from fear to courage, from being stifled to being free and able. That is why gathering and connecting in worship is so vital. Whether we gather like we do in this building, and those of you who are gathering with us in live stream, connecting with us, it is so vital and important. The psalmist here describes a journey of moving into the temple, finding shelter there or respite from fear and the presence of God, and then being elevated high onto a rock, so high that his head is lifted up above all those fear-inducing enemies and challenges. And the journey takes place in the context of the house of the Lord. A place, an experience of worship and attention. Worship is not so much in a sanctuary as it is an experience of sanctuary. Worship holds opportunity for us to let go of fear and embrace courage. And this can happen while we sing or listen to music, when we hear the scripture, as we pray, or during the sermon. If we open our minds and hearts to the meaning and the moment, if we become both inquiring and expecting people, we can reach that moment. Sunday school and other small groups also offer similar experience and opportunity, because when relationships of trust develop, they become a safe place where fears can be named and troubles exposed and grief confessed, questions asked, and guidance found. When people come together to share experience and to explore the wisdom of Scripture, the Spirit of God extends the wisdom of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the way of Jesus into our lives. It happens. Well, here's how I believe it happens. Let's say that you or I are feeling the fear of some arresting challenge. When we engage in worship or a small study and fellowship group, we bring that fear and all the thoughts and feelings about that fear into the present moment of experience. We bring questions about what to do, how to proceed, why we feel fear, and what to do next. We bring all of this and also all of our habits and patterns of conduct and thinking and opinions into worship or into that class fellowship experience. And in that moment of experience, through scripture and proclamation and music and conversation and prayers, the spiritual presence and wisdom of God shows up. God shows up with an invitation, an option, something we've not yet considered, a fresh thought. Perhaps it's at first only a detectable inkling of something new, fresh, some wisdom. It may be almost like when a lure catches the eye of a fish as it pulls through the water, hungry for courage against our fear. We sense the whisper of the Spirit of, what was that? I heard something. The whisper of the Spirit of God in our lives. Then we have a choice. We can dismiss that invitation or pursue it. If we pursue it, then we do well to seek counsel in further prayer and scripture study and worship and conversation with trusted persons, believing that God continues to unfold, to illuminate next steps, and to invite us into more light and more wisdom if we remain in the mode of inquiring and expecting, learning. So having come into the sanctuary experience of tent or temple, God begins to lift us high up on a rock above the enemy's call fear and to give us courage. This psalm ends with words of instruction that also guide us in moving from fear to courage. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That repeated phrase, wait for the Lord, also translated hope for the Lord, recalls our scripture theme for this series. Those who hope in the Lord shall soar with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. The word wait and the word hope are the same Hebrew word. It can also mean expect or look for. Another way to say it is expect God to show up. Expect God to show up when you seek God's presence and wisdom. We could say, expect God to guide and enable us to take the next step. Expect that in worship and in and through Scripture and prayer and with the counsel of others, God will work in your thinking and your feeling to illuminate next steps as the way unfolds. And then strengthen us to point us in the direction of courage. Strengthen us to the degree that we have the courage to take those steps even when there are imposing challenges. In the 2019 movie Harriet, about Harriet Tubman and her work as part of the Underground Railroad, that work of leading slaves to freedom before the Civil War, she made 19 trips doing that. In one scene, a scene I've recalled, I think, in a previous sermon, actually, she is leading about a half a dozen slaves toward freedom, including a baby and an elderly woman, and in the dark of night, when violent captors are on their tail, encroaching upon them, they come up against this rather large river, an ominous and foreboding obstacle that fills the company with fear. Harriet insists that they must cross the river. And after a tense moment of disagreement with one of the young men who said he didn't bring his family out here to die like rats in the river, she declares that they either cross to freedom or they die. Harriet steps into the water and begins walking into the river in the darkness of the moonlight. And she goes deeper and deeper. And the water begins to rise on her body until finally it is at her chin. And she stands there, stops there, and prays, "Lord, help me cross. Lead me through." Her prayer echoes Psalm 27, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path." Harriet takes another step, and then another step, and another, and her shoulders begin to rise out of the water. And then she goes and she rises up out of the water, and those on the shoreline behind her lay their fears on the shore and enter the water, their fear having now turned to courage, as if they can hear, "Expect the Lord to show up. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." It is essential that we replace fear with courage. It is necessary for any of us experiencing the anxiety, the burnout, the fatigue, the fears of this ruthless pandemic, or whatever it is in your life that is the gripping fear for you. Courage is needed to stand up against the fear that would cause us to be angry, defeated, blaming. The fears that could cause us to turn uncivil and uncaring against neighbors and family and those whose convictions of politics are different than ours. Fear brings out the worst in people. It makes us angry and suspicious. It causes us to scapegoat and demonize, and then to lash out at people until we not only see others as threatening, but we become threatening to them. Today, our culture urges us to be our authentic self and tells us that that is courage. And there's truth to that. But God calls us to be our baptized self, our believing self, our most Jesus-like self. God calls us to step out of the quagmire of fear and attack and to be elevated onto the higher ground of courage and creative solutions. the courage to be civil citizens and committed Christians who care deeply to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. Fear is a dark path to increasing conflict and pain. Courage lights the way. We are called to carry the light of courage into the world by our speech and by our actions, by our Facebook and Instagram postings, our Twitterings and our conversations. It is by the light of our faith that we can sing against all fear, "It is well with my soul." You have your candles. In just a moment, we're going to begin passing the courage of the light of Christ to remember and remind ourselves and project ourselves as those who bear the light. Please remember to keep the light upright, to dip the unlit candle so as to be kind to your neighbors. Remain seated if you would, and the hymn is 377. "It is well with my soul." Thank you. say after me? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. Of whom shall I be afraid? And now we're going to extinguish these candles, but the light of Christ, eternal as it is, burns brightly in our lives all the time, and we are the bearers, the carriers of that light, that true light that cannot be extinguished. So would you stand together, please, and hear this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.